be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the clouds and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. What was the event where 23,000 died in one day? Well, it was an event where Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, excelled in his zeal for the Lord. That is why this sermon is titled Phinehas. Put a sticker here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Please turn your Bible to the prophecy of Numbers, Numbers 25, verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, and hand them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one of his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was a stay from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was jealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore, say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was jealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now, the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cosbi, the daughter of Sur. He was head over a people and of chief house in Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor. and in the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. What really had taken place? Balak, the king of Moab, had hired Balaam, the soothsayer, to curse the children of Israel. But God did not want Israel to be cursed by anyone. And so God forced Balaam to pronounce blessing on Israel. What has this to do with the gospel? Why do we read about the details of the death of Zimri and Cozbi? Why is Phinehas made the hero of the day for killing this man and woman? Why is the regard of Phinehas for this good work giving us a covenant of peace? Please turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 35, verse 9. Numbers 35, verse 9. This is an extremely large subject, and I will try to be short in my explanation of it. It shall extract from it only what I need. God commanded the children of Israel to establish in the land 6 cities of refuge, 3 on the west side and 3 on the east side of the Jordan River. Let us read about that here in Numbers chapter 35, verses 9 through 34. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not, until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of those cities which ye shall give, 6 cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give 3 cities on the side of Jordan, and 3 cities shall be given to the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These 6 cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel and for the stranger, and for the sojourning among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee there. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with an hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is also a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred and hurl at him by laying of weight, that he die. Or in enmity smite him with his hand, that he die. He that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or hath cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not and cast it upon him, that he die and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to this judgment. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. And the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whether he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statue of judgment unto you throughout your generation in all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. And ye shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land, until the death of the priest. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. So God stated in Genesis 9:6, whoso sheddeth man's blood by man, shall his blood be shed, for the image of God made him man. And this law has never been rescinded. But because of the wickedness of man and the unrighteous judgment of early judges who caused many murderers to live after they have been convicted of murder, our land has been greatly defiled. But God also gave this law to the nation of Israel to serve as type and figures, or as shadows and substances of Christ and his church. We will look at this representation from two sides. The first one is this: how does the manslayer represent who is fleeing to the city of refuge? Every one of us who has been saved and who is being saved is represented by the manslayer. For all the elect of Christ are responsible for the death of Christ. And where do we flee to? We flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not flee to a church or to a temple or a city, but to the Lord Jesus. For there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Only in Christ do we find safety. Thus the city of refuge is a type of Christ. And so, when we have fled to the city of refuge, we do not wander outside of that city, for that will represent that we drove back and that we're wandering in the world again. So we're reading Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38, but if any man drove back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And who is the revenger of blood? It is God himself, who is the next of kin of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who does not reside in Christ shall inherit the wrath of God for the murder of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well for any of his other sins. Please turn to the epistle John chapter 8 verse 43. John chapter 8 verses 43-47. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of our father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convince me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. The Lord Jesus said, he was a murderer from the beginning, which tells us that he was a murderer from the beginning of world history. His action in the Garden of Eden was the cause that we all were dead in trespasses and sins, and that we had no ability to remove ourselves from this condition of being enslaved to Satan. And all those who have not been elected unto salvation are still dead and unable to hear the words of the Lord Jesus. So the Lord said in verse 43, because ye cannot hear my word, the Lord says also in verse 46, why do ye not believe me? The answer comes in verse 47, because ye are not of God. Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, verse 6. Matthew 12, 36. On Matthew chapter 12, verse 6, we read, but I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Therefore, unsaved people are digging for themselves a deeper hole in hell by the words that they speak. They sin voluntarily, and God shall judge every sin, even a sin as small as an idle word. The Revenger of Blood. Please, turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 12, verses 49 to 50. Matthew 12, 49 to 50. And he stretched forth his hands over his disciples, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So we read in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And we're reading Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of the woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We're reading Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. We're reading Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Please turn again to the prophecy of Numbers. We read, that is why the Lord Jesus Christ took on our flesh and blood, so that he could be our near kinsman, so that he could be our redeemer and die on the cross for us. In fact, another passage where the word appear is in Psalm 19, verse 14. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in the sight of Lord my Rock and my Redeemer. We have read or heard these verses many times. Now we see that the word does not only mean kinsman, but it also means redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer, who redeemed us by paying the full price of our sins, which is the equivalent of an eternity in hell, and by dying for us on the cross. For whom did the Lord Jesus Christ suffer and die on the cross? Was it for the sins of everyone in the world, in the whole world? If that is what you always have believed, you believe wrong. The Lord Jesus is not a pitiful slave who wants to save you, but he cannot save you if you do not want it. He's not your slave. He's God Almighty, who performs what he wills and who saves whom he wants to save. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ is not only our kinsman redeemer, he's also the avenger on our enemies. And he certainly did not suffer and die for them. So please listen to what God says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 14. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cries in the chiefs. And we're reading Isaiah chapter 49, verse 26. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 26. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So you see that the word also means avenger, which implies Christ as the judge. The Lord Jesus Christ pleads our cause, and he takes vengeance on all those that oppress us. So, when we read in Numbers 35 about the revenger of blood, we know who God has in mind. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our kinsman redeemer, avenger. He's our avenger on Satan. Phineas, please turn again to the prophecy of Numbers. Numbers chapter 25, verse 7. Number 25, verse 7. Now we have to interpret the event where Phineas is piercing the man and the woman. This too is a historical parable. It was historically true, but the value that God attaches to it makes it a historical parable. First of all, we have to determine the time in history for which God chose us this historical parable. It will be at a time when fornication is occurring and all time high. For the sons of Israel were fornicating with the daughters of Moab and Midian. It will be at a time when apostasy is occurring and at all time high in the church. For this rebellion was occurring only in the nation of Israel, which stood for the representation of the kingdom of God on this earth. It was at a time when Israel was just about to cross the Jordan River, or just about to enter their promised land, which means that it will be near the end of time, when Christ shall make an end of Antichrist and of Satan. And so, all the signs are pointing this picture. Phineas piercing the man and the woman in one stroke with his javelin is a picture of Christ piercing Antichrist and the apostate church in one stroke at the end of time. It really shows us Christ as the avenger on the harlot Babylon of Revelation 17, and Christ as the avenger on the beast, Antichrist, and thereby destroying all the works of Satan in Revelation chapter 19. Let us look at these aspects in some detail. The name Zimri means celebrated. Antichrist is greatly celebrated. For we read in Revelation chapter 7, 13, verse 7. Revelation 13, verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given over all kindreds and tongues and nations. The woman's name was Cusbi, which means deceitful. Indeed, the church will be very deceitful at the end of time. For she tries to hide that she has in fact become the harlot Babylon, who is under the curse of God. The name Phineas means oracle. This tells us that Christ is not personally going to pierce the beast and the church, but by the words of his mouth, he will strike both of them through their heart. So we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. In other words, Phineas has become a type of Christ, for he turned away the wrath of God from the children of Israel. Therefore, it shall be to him and to his seed after him the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. What does this really mean? In a time when the Aaronic priesthood was still in full swing, it means that normally the priesthood shifts from father to son, but for the generation of Phineas, his priesthood will be like the priesthood of the order of Melchizedek. And so, should we conclude that there is another line of priests after the order of Phineas? No. This line after the order of Phineas is actually the same one as that after the order of Melchizedek. For Phineas represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the only one who has an everlasting priesthood, for he is the only one who presently is our great high priest. Moreover, the precise wording of the reward of Phineas must be stated correctly. So we read in Numbers chapter 25, verse 11. Numbers 25, verse 11. Phineas hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was jealous with my zeal among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy, God says, with my zeal among them. For it was Christ who with God's zeal executed this judgment on Zimri and Cusbi, as the judgment on the man Antichrist and the woman Babylon. Please turn your Bible to the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 34. Jeremiah 7, 34. What is really the purpose of God for bringing up the killing of 23,000 Israelites in the plague of Shittim, east of the Jordan? The purpose was exactly to warn us of the signs of the end of time, and to write this up in such a way that the critics of the Bible may have some ammunition. In Numbers 25, verse 9, Numbers 25, 9, God says that the total number of those that die in the plague were 24,000. However, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8, God says that those that died in the plague the first day were 23,000. And so, those two statements complement each other very well. Moreover, when we turn to Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 34, we learn of the warning signs of the great apostasy in the final tribulation period. God says in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 34, Jeremiah 7:34, "Then will I cause to cease from the city of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate." God spoke here of Jerusalem and Judah, which were going to be overrun by the kingdom of Babylon. And God repeated this message in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 9. Perhaps you would like to turn there. And there we read, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride." What has been going on? The northern kingdom of Israel had already been swallowed up by the kingdom of Assyria 100 years earlier. However, now the southern kingdom of Judah was going to be overrun by the kingdom of Babylon. So please, turn into the prophecy of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14. And there, in Jeremiah chapter 5, 14, 16, the word of God reads like this: "Wherefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and these people wood, and it shall be devoured. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, says the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understand it. What they say, their quiver is as an open sepulchre, they're all mighty men." The nation of Babylon is the nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. God is referring to the tongue speakers of our days. This is the nation that will overrun the church, and then the church will become like Babylon. And remarkably, God speaks about the church as Babylon in Revelation chapter 17, where the church is called Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Please, turn now to the revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 18, verse 22. And so, what is the sequence we have gone through? We saw from Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 34, and also in Jeremiah chapter 16, 9, judgment on Judah and Jerusalem, which was swallowed up by Babylon. However, in Revelation 17 and Revelation 18, we see that the church has become Babylon. In other words, the destruction of Judah and Jerusalem in 587 BC was a picture of the destruction of the church in our days. And how will it be destroyed? It will be destroyed by a nation whose tongue they shall not understand. So we read in Revelation chapter 18, verses 22 through 24. "And the voice of harper and musician, and of pipers and trumpeters, shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman or whatsoever cat he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a milestone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth." And the words in Revelation chapter 18, verse 23, Revelation 18:23, are remarkably similar to the words in Jeremiah 7:34 and Jeremiah chapter 16:9. God is warning us that the tongue speakers are the ones who will convert the church to become like Babylon. For this we must give thanks, for now we know that we are close to the end. Amen. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our merciful Father and God, we thank you for giving us this your church, where we can come and exalt and praise your name. We pray that you will let this church be a strong voice, crying in the wilderness of this world. We pray that you will help us to reach men in this world through the paid ministry and also through the internet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.